it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, we'll recommend an EV for viewers looking for an 800-volt EV under $30,000, a highly depreciated German EV, and an electric pickup truck with good range. Welcome to Battery Bargains, where we shortcut your search for the perfect EV. This is episode number 56. I'm Dominic Chione. Joining me today is Andrew Lambrecht from Evercars. Hey, Andrew. Good to see you.
Nice to see you, Dominic.
All right. Hey, real quick, give us the elevator explanation of what Evercars is and what it does.
Sure. Yeah. So Evercars, we are currently the largest EV store in America. You can think of us as a more advanced, at least in terms of our operations, Carvana or CarMax, and we sell only electric cars. So no plug-in hybrids, no regular hybrids. Our entire inventory is all electric vehicles. We have some efforts we're launching on the media side with our YouTube channel, and we have several hundred cars currently in inventory. We have two locations right now, San Francisco and Costa Mesa, California. And you could probably, if you scroll through the listings, you'll see the little locations underneath them. And yeah, we're the place to go if you're looking for an electric vehicle.
Right. Looks great. I'm looking at the site right now. We have it up on the screen. Nice clean showroom where you take the pictures. That's always like a really good start. It's just, but yeah, interesting selection of cars. I see some Acuras. I see some Volvos, a Lucid Air for $43,500. That's great. Awesome. Yeah. So you've been doing that for a while. Things are going well, I guess.
Yep. Things are going well. We have a lot of exciting stuff on the horizon. We have a partnership with Lucid Motors that, so if you see some of our Lucids for sale, a lot of those were purchased directly from Lucid. So,
oh, cool. That's pretty awesome. All right. All right. So Let's get into our viewer emails in a sec. But first, I wanted to share with you and our viewers out there our deal of the week. So this segment may evolve further, but I thought we'd put some limits on the mileage, price, and model year. So to achieve deal of the week status, I think a car should be under $30,000. Have less than 30,000 miles and be no more than 3 years old. So they should be still plenty of warranty or some warranty left, depending on what warranty you get with it new. So this week's car may not be the best EV or have the fastest software, but some may appreciate its good looks and high power. So I present to you a new 2025 Dodge Charger RT. And let me bring it up on the screen for you all to see. So we're talking, there's 1,000 miles on this thing. And so it's probably used as a demonstrator. But yeah, with the MSRP, including destination, brand new, was $59,990. And this one is now available for $30,000, which is kind of ridiculous. $30,000. We're in a Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, for this dealership, and yeah, it comes in this after dark color, which is like a deep metallic blue. Which I don't know if you can see on these pictures, but it kind of changes color a bit. It's like a chameleon. I'm sure that costs some money on top of the regular MSRP. So yeah, so it's not the fastest charger they sold, but we're talking 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds. It's got the 93.9 kilowatt hour usable battery and just over 308 miles of EPA range when it's equipped with these smallest stock tires. I'm not sure what those tires are, but so it charges at a high of 183 kilowatts, which is kind of mediocre for 2026, and can add 20 to 80% charge in 24 minutes, which is okay. So, Andrew, so you have some thoughts and feelings about the Dodge Charger. You have some history with this car.
Oh, yes.
So tell me why I'm wrong to make this like the first like deal of the week, because it looks like a deal to me.
Oh, I think it's a deal, and I would definitely consider one. So I guess a little history with my Dodge Charger Daytona experience. So I leased one for a really good rate. It was like $133 a month. It was great. That's with the down payment, it like crazy, and California taxes. So whenever I tell people, I'm like, oh, I leased this car for $133 a month, they're like, oh, well, how much was the down payment? I'm like, no, I just paid the entire lease up front and it came out to $133 a month with taxes. So there were some crazy wow. lease deals. Unfortunately, you can't get them anymore because we don't have the tax credit and these dealer discounts, they just don't work on leases. So if you are getting a Dodge Charger nowadays, you got to buy it. You're not going to get a good lease deal. Your lease deal is probably going to be $900 plus a month. You're not going to getting a lease deal nowadays. But if you are looking at buying one, dealers are doing massive discounts on these cars. This is an example. The discounts are insane right now. Literally talking half off MSRP because this car was roughly $61,590 brand new. That was the base price for the 2025 RT. So if you can get it for $30,000, you're getting it for half off MSRP. The one thing I will say is that Dodge dealers are notorious for adding on just crap fees. That just kind of happens. If like I got my good deal on the Dodge Charger because I knew the dealership personally. I had a connection there that helped me get the deal and not kind of deal with those fees. If you are going to a regular Dodge dealership, expect that they're going to try to add on the low jack, all that other stupid stuff that is just a bunch of junk fees. And this one is interesting because it says the breakdown of the fees, but knowing it's in Florida, I just have a gut feeling that there are still more things that might be on there. Not sure. So I'd say just ask the dealer for an invoice. But yeah, these deals are getting pretty good. At least my experience with the Dodge Charger, it's a really cool car. It's fun to drive. It gets a lot of attention. It's a great car on paper and in practice when it's working. And I drove mine for under 1,000 miles before it bricked. And I bought it, or sorry, when I started the lease, it was in service and I didn't get it until roughly 115 days into that lease period. So these things are not reliable. They have lots of issues. My case is not one off. It's not like I just got stuck with a bad one. So many people have had bad ones. So be prepared. Like this is a car that might brick when you're driving on the highway. Like you just got to be right. ready. And if that's not something you want to deal with, then don't get this car.
Right.
So yeah, it's a problematic vehicle, but it is a lot of fun. And if you have like another car or something like that, then I think this thing can definitely be a lot of fun. So I think there's a lot of rambling, but if you're interested in a fun EV, I think you'll have a lot of fun with this. And especially at like around 30,000, I think it's definitely a worthwhile consideration. And I was actually looking because since mine got lemoned, I got a buyback on mine. I was thinking, I'm like, oh, these new prices are coming down. Maybe I should consider one. So I was reaching out to some dealers and I got some like relatively good, like some of these dealers weren't even adding on a ton of crap fees on these chargers because I think they're so desperate to get rid of them. They're like, this thing has been on the lot for a year and a half. Just please take it, someone.
Right.
So I like.
They've discontinued the RT too, right?
Yes, the RT's discontinued that specific trim. They're not stocking a lot of the new fully electrics at the dealership anymore, as well as the Daytonas. So they're doing a lot more six packs. So yeah, right. It's just really interesting. There's some great deals out there. And like in California, where we have just exorbitant car taxes, I reached out to a dealer in Florida, Texas. It was a really nice spec. It was an orange with the larger black wheels. like the gunmetal color, look really cool. And all in, I was looking at like $40,000 with their crazy shipping rates, with taxes, every single fee added on for a new 2025 Dodge Charger that was like $64,000 brand new. So,
and you want it new too. You want the full factory warranty on this because, 100%. Like you said, things can go wrong.
Do not buy a used one. If you are buying a Dodge Charger, do not buy a used one, because you want, depending on the state, you have about that 2 year lemon law period. So you buy the car and then you get that 2 years. Because like I said, it's not, I know one person with a good Dodge Charger experience. Everyone else has had severe issues. So, just like, you need that warranty because you don't want the, and you have a 3 year, 36,000 mile basic warranty, 5 year, 60,000 mile powertrain, 8 year, 100,000 mile battery. So luckily, if there is something like the, some issue, it's a red wrench of death that pops up. And if that pops up in the gauge cluster, which I've seen multiple times in mine, if that pops up, hopefully that will fall underneath that powertrain warranty. So at least you got some more time. But you don't want to buy this car used like 2 years old and then have it go into service for 100 days. And then you're just like stuck without a car. You can't lemon it. You can't do anything. So yeah, it's right. A great car. Just like know that.
Is it mostly a software issue that's the deal? I know when I got it, I never drove the thing, but I got in one and played with it. And I just found the software was super slow. Maybe they fixed that. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the software is definitely an issue. They have tons of software issues with the cars. I know that for sure. The Uconnect system in there for the infotainment you were probably playing around with, that one is like just not a great infotainment system. Stellantis is
10 speakers.
Yes. Yeah, the sound system's great. The bass sound system in there is actually really good.
Okay. Nice.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
All right, that's probably enough Dodge Charger for one episode. But so let's, I guess, pull up some emails and find these folks their next favorite car. So our first email comes to us from Marcus in Atlanta, and he writes, I've been driving a 2019 Chevy Bolt EV for the last 3 years. It's been an absolute rock for my daily commute, but my job just changed, and now I'm driving 250 miles round trip twice a week. The slow DC fast charge of the Bolt isn't taking entirely too long, and I just can't sit at chargers for an hour anymore. So I want to step up to something with true 800-volt architecture for fast highway stops, but I want to buy used and keep my budget strictly under $30,000. I know you talk a lot about buying right in this market. Should I be looking at an early Hyundai Ioniq 5 or a Kia EV6? Or is there a sleeper option on the used market that's a great highway cruiser that I'm overlooking? Best, Marcus. So, do you want to take a stab at that?
All right. Best used EVs with an 800-volt architecture for under 30 grand. I got a few choices. So, naturally, one would go to the Ioniq 5, which makes a lot of sense. But there's something that's really interesting. So, if you look at the affordable Ioniq 5s, don't get me wrong, they're actually a little more on the affordable side compared to some of the other ones, like the Kia EV6. And that's because there's just so many Ioniq 5s on the road compared to EV6. In fact, last year, the Ioniq 5 outsold the Kia EV6 roughly 3.6 to 1. So way more Ioniq 5s on the road, way more lease returns coming in, and they have done pretty good lease deals all throughout the year. So there's a very, very, very steady supply of Ioniq 5s on the market, particularly the SEL trim. But the interesting thing is for the 2024 model year, the SEL trim has been massively downgraded compared to the 2023 Ioniq 5 SEL. So if you get a 2024 Ioniq 5 SEL, you don't get rear AC vents, you don't get ambient lighting, you get cloth seats, and a few other things. You don't even get a rear center console. So like the armrest in the rear seats, you don't even get that. So the Ioniq 5, the affordable ones, are a little downgraded. You can also easily find limited Ioniq 5s for under $30,000. And I think that's a very nice car because you have those, the front seats that can fully recline back. It's a really nice car. Now, If you're also looking more around that $25,000 mark, I'd recommend the Kia EV6 Wind, because the Kia EV6 Wind has a lot more features than the IONIQ 5 SEL. So on the EV6, you get a Meridian sound system and you also get ventilated front seats. So it's a little more premium in there.
Yeah. That's some good information, man.
And the
I never realized that.
Yeah. So it's really interesting because you think like, oh, IONIQ 5 SEL and Kia EV6 Wind, like they're both the mid-level trims. You'd think that they'd be kind of similar in options, but they're actually not. So that's interesting.
Right.
But the IONIQ 5 SEL does have a heated steering wheel. So if you like that, then you might lean more towards the IONIQ 5. Now, the final car is the Hyundai IONIQ 6, which is the long sedan. That car I really like. It has super spacious back seats, way more spacious than the Tesla Model 3, a ton of space on the interior. Downside is you only get 11.3 cubic feet in the trunk. So it's a very small trunk on that car. So if you do want something with more space, then go with EV6 or IONIQ 5. But the but they're all really great cars, and it just really depends on what you want. But in terms of ease of accessibility to find, IONIQ 5. Those are the easiest cars to find. There's so many on the market. The EV6, I think, is a great option too. It just drives a little sportier. So the dampers on there are a little bit stiffer. And then the IONIQ 6 is just the sedan. So if you're fine with a little less bass, but you prefer that sedan vibe, then go with the IONIQ 6.
Right. The IONIQ 6 has a particular look to it too. Some people may or may not like it, right? I think that's kind of why it's been selling as slow as it has. And they've actually discontinued selling it in the US now, just more recently, right? You can still get the N version, like the super performance version, mm-hmm. right? But you can't get the nice Howie Cruiser version is gone. But so you mentioned about 23 to 24, losing some things, but it also gained, did it not? And correct me if I'm wrong, preconditioning in that year?
I'm honestly not too sure about preconditioning. Maybe it did. But at least in terms of like the raw features, if you like, at least for me, it's like you'd think the SEL is a little more premium, but like, you know, you kind of like rear AC vents, you like that rear center console, you like the leatherette as opposed to cloth seats. So I feel like that might be a slightly larger decision factor for a lot of people. But if it does have the battery preconditioning, that's something definitely to consider.
Right. So before I answer this question, I just want to mention that I search for cars. Always when I search for cars on these things, I search for no accident history and a clean title. And I also cap my searches at 20,000 miles. So remember, you can probably find, you know, better prices than what I'll show you here, but they'll have more miles. So let me know in the comments if you think 20,000 miles is too low. Stepping into a Hyundai IONIQ 5 or a Kia EV6 from a Chevy Volt is a pretty nice upgrade. So I found a used 2024 Hyundai. This is 2024, so it's maybe cloth seats. I should look that up. Let you take a look. That's something to look out for. Maybe you can get optional better seats. I'm not sure. But 2024 Hyundai IONIQ 5, $24,295, only 11,692 miles. So it's pretty much a new car, 2024, lots of warranty on it. It's got all the fast charging things. It's the SEL, so it has the big battery with 303 miles of EPA range. So you should be able to do that round trip, your 250 miles round trip, without stopping to charge. But if you do have to stop, it won't take very much to charge with one of these. It's like 10 to 80% in 18 minutes. And if you're stopping for a quick fill up, it won't take you even that long, like 10 minutes maybe, you know? It's a 2024, so I'm pretty sure that means it has preconditioning. But double check that for yourselves, of course. And in case Marcus might prefer the Kia EV6, which is basically the same powertrain on a different model, I found a used 2023 Kia EV6 Wind with 17,841 miles. Let's see, share that up here with you. that is not it. Share up here with you. The here we go. 2023, yeah, EV6 wind, $25,497, 17,841 miles. So still super low mileage and but a bit higher price. And, you know, man, I think it's a great looking car. I really like it. And in person, I remember seeing these things in person for the first time and thought, oh, you know, it looked way better in person to me than I thought it did in the pictures, the original pictures. And so I've really kind of liked them a lot. So, yeah, those are just a couple of things that I would suggest. And yeah,
it's a great looking car.
To our next, yeah.
Yeah. And I think one final thing is the Ioniq 5 sits a little more upright. So the Ioniq 5 feels more like an SUV as opposed to EV6, which feels a little more like a hatchback. And
true.
Yeah. Just one more buying thing to think about.
Right. So our next email comes to us from Sarah. She says, hi guys, I'm looking for a cheap used EV and the prices on luxury stuff right now are just crazy. There is a 2019 Audi e-tron Prestige at an independent lot near me for $21,500. It looks brand new, but it has 68,000 miles on it. So the factory bumper-to-bumper warranty is totally dead. Matt's letter about the lemon Kias last week got me thinking about rolling the dice. Am I asking for trouble buying an old German luxury car just because it's cheap up front? What usually breaks on these early e-trons besides the main battery that I should worry about? Thanks, Sarah. Well, so the out-of-spec, well, first of all, what was it? How'd she say that? Am I asking for trouble buying an old German luxury car? Just generally EV or not, whatever. The answer to that is yes, just because parts are expensive. And I don't know if they're more, you know, problem-prone than other cars, but generally German cars have been expensive. But in the case of the e-tron, so... This is an interesting car because it's super nice, but they do have like one particular issue. The Out of Spec Renew channel with Alex had a video up titled "Every e-tron will fail this way: How to check motor coolant intrusion problem." And so that's a video you can go look up on Out of Spec Renew, and you can see exactly what the problem is, how to see if your car has a problem, and then how to fix it and everything. So the problem is that sometimes, maybe eventually at some point, coolant will leak somehow into the motor. And the rear motor has ways that you can check on that, and it should be checked regularly. The front motor also has, well, I think the rear motor has a reservoir to catch it. So you kind of can check the reservoir, but the front motor, I think you have to pull off the seals. So I would suggest taking it to a dealer for that, unless you, you know, are pretty competent with wrenches and all. I would take it to a garage. But yeah, so that's really like the one thing I think you need to worry about. So I did take a look at, so I did find some e-trons out there. You can find used e-trons for under $17,000 on cars.com right now. This is like a, I don't know, 60 some thousand dollar car, right?
Now we're well over 80 with options. So,
right. Right. If you get, especially if you go with like the e-tron S, so there's a bunch of different, you know, slightly different ones. But the best deal I could find on I didn't want, those are all high miles, right? You can get down into 16,000, whatever, or even cheaper actually. But, you know, I look through and I make sure they haven't been in an accident and they have a clean title. So the best deal that I was comfortable with that I could find was, I'll pull this up on the screen, was this 2021 Audi e-tron Premium. And I'll just share this with you. Boom. So it's got 23,222 miles on it for $23,500. So it's a couple thousand more than the car you were looking at, but it's the mileage is still where it should be okay. You know, it shouldn't have any problems with coolant intrusion or whatever. And I would have it maybe inspected at the dealership before you take delivery. That would be my suggestion if you want to go through with the purchase of something like this, knowing that that is an issue. But yeah, I think it's a great car for, you know, $60,000+. This one, I think it was $66,000 brand new. So
yeah.
And they're just like solid, like a rock. They drive great. They're just really comfortable cars, but they do have that, like that one issue, right?
Yeah. And that one's in San Jose. I might pick that up. I might get that before you, Sarah. But I think one thing with the e-trons that I want to point out is the 2021 and newer. That's when we got the new entry-level premium trim. And that one you're looking at is a premium. And that's, unfortunately, that one actually doesn't have a ton of features compared to the premium plus. I think the premium plus is like the best middle ground. The prestige is really nice because you get like ambient lighting, like the aromas in the cabin from the AC vent, which is kind of cool. But the premium still has air suspension and that stuff, but you don't get ventilated seats. You don't get the Bang & Olufsen sound system. So those are just like a couple things that you kind of want on a luxury car that you don't get on the premium. But if you're just like in it because you want a nicer driving EV, all the e-trons will drive the same. And the premium will probably drive a little bit better than like a prestige because it has the smaller wheels. But in terms of the driving experience, the Audi e-tron is like one of my favorite driving EVs. Like, it is just so comfortable to drive. It's such a nice vehicle behind the wheel. But obviously it is a luxury vehicle. It was very expensive, brand new, and it's going to be just more expensive to maintain because you have air suspension. There's just so much going on in that powertrain, and it's probably going to end up costing more in maintenance down the road.
Right. Like a good German car. This one has leather seats, memory seats. The other thing with e-trons that we should mention too is the range. So this one has 222 miles of EPA range. So not the biggest range. They charge pretty fast, if I remember correctly. At least the early ones did.
Even though they're 400 volt. Yeah. So they charge from 10 to 80 in about 26 minutes. People are like, it has a 150 kilowatt peak charge rate, which doesn't really sound that great, but it will hold that charge rate for the majority of the charging session. So these cars actually charge really quick. And it's a big battery too. It's a 95 kilowatt hour battery. So
yeah, it's just not super efficient. Yeah,
unfortunately, but I still love the e-trons. I think they're fantastic cars.
Yeah, there are worse cars you can buy
for sure. But I would lean towards a CPO or getting an extended warranty on one. I just don't think I could recommend like a 2019 to someone for like 17 grand, like not knowing much about it. Like I just couldn't do that. But there's some really nice CPOs out there. They are more money for sure, like more like 25 to 30. But I even saw in Texas, there was an e-tron S, which has the 496 horsepower tri-motor setup. So you get true torque vectoring on the rear axle. Super cool. I've driven the e-tron S. It's a lot of fun to drive. Still heavy. It's a large vehicle. But you can get those for in the low 30s. I found one at a dealer. Now, there's like so few. There's like 10 of them on the market. But you can find some around that price point. I saw a few. So there was a CPO in Texas for 32,000, 40,000 miles. And it was a 2022 e-tron S, which was probably north of 90 grand brand new. So
nice.
Get it for a third of the original price.
Sounds good to me. All right. One more email to wrap this up. Our final email comes to us from Dale, and he writes, I watch the channel a lot, but I've been holding out. Right now, I have a 2011 F-150 EcoBoost with almost 200,000 miles on the clock. It's still okay for pulling my small trailer on the weekends, but things are starting to break, and it gets terrible gas mileage. I think my next truck will be electric, but the prices are confusing. I see used F-150 Lightnings getting down around mid-30K range right now, but I'm worried the standard battery won't get enough range if I'm towing anything. Should I look for an early Rivian R1T instead, or are electric trucks just too expensive right now and I should wait? Dale. So, Andrew, what do you think about that situation?
I really empathize with Dale because I think that is a really interesting spot in the market because there really isn't a great option all around. Now, I like the standard range Lightning. I think it's a great one. But if you are towing long distances, that range could be problematic just because already from the get-go, you have 230 miles of range. So that's a little unfortunate, but I still think that car could be doable. But I have seen Lightning prices actually kind of tick up in recent months just with gas prices being so expensive. So I remember there was a point earlier this year when you could get pretty nice Lightnings for around $28,000, $29,000, maybe higher miles, like 60, 70.
Nice.
Now, not anymore. I think with gas prices going up and also losing out on the tax credit and the Lightning being discontinued. So like you have these three factors that just really increase the used prices. Which is unfortunate. And then, honestly, I think this, it makes me wonder how would the Lightning have performed if they just kept it in production just a little while longer to wait for this conflict going on to see if that would have affected sales. But there's not really like a great choice in that price range. All of them kind of do have drawbacks. The Silverado is a great car, especially if you get the extended range or the larger battery in there. You get like 400 miles of range. But it is the work truck spec. It's not very nice at all. You're going to get vinyl seats. You don't even have the same main display you get in the more expensive ones. It's just not a very desirable cabin to be in. It's just going to feel like a true work truck. And maybe you're fine with that. Right. And then that'll be fine because you have plenty of range. Rivians are still upper 40s is the lower end on Rivian R1Ts. And I think they're great trucks, but they are definitely more expensive. So I think, yeah, right now that segment is not the best just because there's really no stellar choice in there, which is a little unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe in a couple more years, the prices of the nicer Silverados and things will come down. The nicer Ford Lightning trims with a bigger battery. So he says his truck now, no, that's his truck now, it's got 200,000 miles on it. It's F-150 EcoBoost. He's pulling a small trailer on the weekends. I think maybe he's more worried about the range than he should be, because so if he's pulling a small trailer, he should be getting at least 100 miles of range.
Oh,
so if you're not, you know,
yeah,
at least like maybe 150. So if you're just pulling around a trailer around town, like 50 miles or 60 miles, I would consider getting the Pro, because you can get a Pro in around 35,000. That's the Ford Lightning with the 230 mile battery. So it comes with the 230 mile battery in it, and was it 296 or 303 or something? Is it the bigger size?
So I was 320. But yeah, sorry, okay. I was assuming he was towing long distances. But yeah, right, if you're towing around town, it's like I don't think range would be any issue in the standard range, because it's still 230 miles. If you're going to be going on really long road trips and stuff, then the standard range will be more difficult. But at least for like around town driving, that the standard range should be plenty, especially if you got good home charging as well.
Right. So the best deal I could find for something, you know, bigger, like you mentioned, the Silverado work truck, if you want like a truck with vinyl seats, you know, tough interior, you can wash that out with a hose. It's not mid 30s. It's 42.9 is like there's a few that are out there that are a little cheaper, but I like this one. It's still got 45,000 miles on it. And if you wanted to, they make a smaller battery version of it. You can pay like around $50,000. You can get into that new. And that's like I think that's a 286 mile battery. But this is like a 450 mile battery. So you can do all the towing, I think, that you'll ever need to do. And be fine with something like this, but it is a bit more money. I kind of like those trucks. I don't know. It's just like they do a lot. You know, you can plug stuff into the back, you can plug stuff into the front. They have a huge frunk on them. It's just a huge back seat, just a, you know, very utilitarian vehicle. And for that price, like 42, I think that one was, and not bad, you know, for a pickup truck. But again, I think another year or so, prices will come down. Or if you want to wait just a year and get into that price range, you could get the new Ford pickup truck that's coming out next year in 2027 on the Universal EV platform. It's going to be small. It'll be like Maverick size, right? In there somewhere. And I don't imagine you'll be able to tow huge distances either with that. But we're still waiting for all the specs, so we don't know. We can't say exactly how far you can tow, but I expect it should be at least over 100 miles. A small trailer, it shouldn't be a problem. On the regular Batteries Included podcast last week, we showed the first spy shots of that truck actually in camo, so you can see kind of an idea how small it is. It's like the Maverick or somewhere between the Maverick and the old Ranger. It's like a true compactish kind of truck. I thought it was going to be bigger. I was kind of surprised to see it, but that's $30,000, I believe, that's going to start out next year. So 35 probably gets you a decent package, right?
Oh, 100%. And I think that is going to be a great option. Like if we look at Maverick resale values and we also look at Ford F-150 resale values for like the first 2 years, they're probably going to really hold on to their value, and they're probably going to be really great just vehicles to buy, because like you can't even get used Mavericks now. Like used Mavericks are like almost as expensive as they are now, almost expensive as they were brand new when they launched as they are now used. So it's like,
right,
they're very high demand vehicles. And I think this new, that at that price point in the mid $30,000 range is going to be like that. That's going to be a great buy for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that truck come roll out. But from now, I think that brings us to the end of this episode. So if you're ready for your own battery bargain, drop us an email or send us a video with your needs and budget, and we'll see what we can do for you in the next episode. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you that next time. Ciao.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.